Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 1. We're going to be preaching on the subject of the three R's of revival. The three R's of revival. I don't think any of us could doubt that the church at Ephesus needed a revival. And so what we find laid out here in this passage are some principles that the Lord has laid out for us so that we may enjoy revival. Let's notice beginning in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Now notice, we can be doing some good things and still need revival. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, I once knew a man who was caught up into peaceful, tranquil, empty nest heaven. Some of you may know, identify with that. Whether in his right mind or out of his mind, I cannot tell. But he was jerked back into reality when all of a sudden he realized, I'm going to have to mow the grass myself. I'm going to have to do all these things myself. And so he thought to himself, I will build or get me another bigger lawnmower, as in riding lawnmower. And I'll be able to take my ease and ride on that lawnmower and cut the grass. Well, he come to find out that as he was cutting the grass and taking his ease, he had a little bit more energy, so he got a little overzealous with the riding lawnmower. And he was enjoying himself. It was at the end of the grass cutting season. And then spring came back around. And upon obtaining some blueberry bushes, he thought, well, I'm going to plant these blueberry bushes along with the lone blueberry bush I got from Florida. And he looked and he looked and he couldn't find that blueberry bush. And then the thought came to him, oops, I got a little overzealous with that lawn tractor. And it's just a little nub. And so, with the help of God's sunshine and God's rain and God's blessing, that little nub revived. It revived. And so we see with God's help, there can be revival. But we need to understand that it's a little different. Some people equate revival with salvation. It's totally different. I did plant some tomatoes Actually, I just kind of threw some cherry tomatoes in a pot and didn't pay much attention to it. But those seeds were dead. And if it die, what did Jesus say in John 12? It bringeth forth much fruit. Yes, 30, some, 60, some 100-fold. But it's a little bit different. Because here we have something that had no life as opposed to something that had life and was revived. Now, it's true that God can use the salvation of sinners to cause God's people to see from whence they'd fallen and bring revival. But revival is not something you can foretell to happen. Now, stay with me here. I cannot say I'm having a revival meeting because I don't know if it's going to be a revival or not. Any more than I know whether somebody's going to be saved or not. I hope and pray for revival. We ought to desire revival. It's a little presumptuous to say that we're having revival services. And I'm guilty. And even every now and again, I'll say that. It's just something you get used to. But I'm reminded I really can't do that. I can only pray that God would bring the revival. And that God would work in me and let it begin with me. Revival is a good thing. It's nothing, though, that we can work up on our own. Only it has to be owned of God. There is no amount. There is no manner of jazzed up music, lively preaching, extended meetings, increased religious activity that can touch the hem of the garment when it comes to revival. Only God can do that. Only He can do that. It's something, revival is something that we could all use. We could all use it. You know, what did the psalmist say? Revive us what? Again. It's something that we need from time to time. Living in this world. I think Joe Wilson brought out a good definition of never forgotten it about backsliding. We're backslidden if we are lower than the highest point we've ever been. Boy, you talk about convicting. And so when I find myself in that situation, I find myself being convicted that I need revival in my heart. Can you imagine the typical Olympic athlete to be satisfied with simply winning the bronze when he's got a couple more Olympics to go? I don't think so. We should not be satisfied. I'm not really going to be satisfied altogether as I ought to until I get to heaven in glory. Because I'm still in this flesh. And that's something to encourage us along the way. As Brother Gene was bringing out, what a glorious time we will have. We won't have this flesh to hinder us anymore in our worship of God. Revival is something that we ought to all earnestly and diligently pray for, seek after, using the means of grace that God has ordained, such as prayer, such as fasting, such as scripture meditation, such as intensified scripture application, evangelistic efforts, more consistent family devotions, and we could go on and on. Understanding, of course, it must be all done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned the term 3 R's of revival. And some of you in education, I know, I remember when I was a teacher that I recognized those 3 R's. In education, it's reading, arithmetic, writing, and arithmetic. Now, it's not good spelling, but it's phonetically right. Reading, writing, arithmetic. But in terms of the 3 R's, as far as God's churches are concerned, we understand that the education system fails when they begin to stray away from these very basic principles. And God's children, we fail to be the witness that we need to be in the world, to bring glory to God as we ought to, when we do not pay attention to these 3 R's of revival that we find in this text. Those 3 R's are, number one, a longing remembrance. A longing remembrance. Remember that song, Precious Memories? How they linger. How they ever flood my soul in the stillness of the midnight. Precious, sacred scenes unfold. If there ought to be, if there are any precious memories within the child of God, it ought to be memories about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those should be the most precious memories of the times in which, first of all, when He saved us by His grace. Those times of sweet communion. Those times and days gone by when He revived us. And it's those kind of longings and those kind of yearnings that the Holy Spirit uses to bring revival to His children. A longing remembrance. Notice with me there in our text, there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. They were up there and they fell down to here. They need to remember when they were up there. They had fallen down from up there. In those high places where we enjoy that communion with our God. This remembrance. You know, it doesn't just apply to the realm of religion, pure religion and undefiled before God. But it also applies in all walks of life. Would it take, for instance, married couples? One way that there can be a revival in a marriage is if we remember time in which we were first joined in holy matrimony. Remember those times where we loved one another and sacrificed for one another and we had that deep romantic love one for another. Those times of remembrance can be used to revive a marriage. Or maybe you're at odds with some of your children because of things that have happened in the past. But you remember some of the good things of the past. And it rekindles the flame that you had for your children. And so, in like manner, as we think about the love of Jesus Christ, we remember His love. It rekindles a love within us. And revives us. The Lord gave the nation of Israel sacrifices and ordinances. Brother Sammy has shown us. Gave us these sacrifices and ordinances designed to serve their memories. To put them in remembrance of what the Lord had done. The Passover, where the death angel passed over them because of the blood that was on the doorpost and the lintel. And it passed over. They were to remember that. And so we also have this same thing in the New Testament among God's churches. First of all, we understand in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1, a very clear, concise definition of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's what we're supposed to remember. And that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But notice where it says there in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul reiterating what Christ said in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Where did the church there at Ephesus fall from? A first love. What are we to remember? What's the first real love we ever really had? It wasn't really our childhood sweetheart. But the first real love is from the one who is love. God is love. We must remember what Christ had done. As He offered up, as it says in the book of Hebrews, recording what happened there in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He offered up supplications and prayers with strong crying. Strong crying. Why? Yes, he had a great burden to bear, but you know why he was bearing that burden? Because he loved each one of us as children. How we need to remember that love that he has shown. He loved us so much, the Apostle Paul said, that he gave himself for us. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. He gave himself to such an extent. Notice verse 5. Let this mind. Let's remember this. Be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ emptied himself. That's how much he gave himself. He gave it all. All that he could give. He gave his life blood. How that ought to stir up sacred scenes, precious memories before us to realize indeed Christ as he hung on the cross. As he said, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me?
He did it for you, every one of you that believe or shall believe. He loved us to the uttermost. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that something you want to remember? In this world full of hates, in this world full of disappointments, remember that very simple truth. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. God's eternal word. But then we find out secondly, and quickly, not only is there a longing remembrance, there is a lamenting repentance. There's a longing remembrance, and secondly, a lamenting repentance. We see, of course, in verses 4 and 5, that the church there is told twice to repent. We find there an example in Psalms 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Paul talked about a certain kind of sorrow. There's a sorrow of the world, isn't there? Like Judas Iscariot had. But Paul talked about a godly sorrow. A godly sorrow. Not one that brings torment, but brings blessing. Notice it says there in Acts 26:20, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, throughout all the coast of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. That's a character traits of God's people. And there in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 9, as Paul rejoiced, at first he didn't rejoice when he wrote that letter that caused them. He was afraid that he was going to lose them. But it says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry. He wasn't there trying to be mean and mean-spirited. But ye sorrowed, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Not sorrowed to depression, not sorrowed to discouragement, but sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And of course, there's lots of ways we can see the goodness of God in our salvation, where we can break brought to sorrow. The goodness of God does what? Leadeth us to repentance. But then the third R. Not only is there a longing remembrance, and not only is there a lamenting repentance, but there is a lasting reverence. A lasting reverence. These three R's have to be evident and present in order for us to enjoy extended seasons of revival and continued seasons of revival. Notice, it says there in verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. What happened? What was to take place here? Well, we go back to the love of Christ, the first love. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians that the love of Christ did what? Constraineth us. motivates us, moves us, energizes us, revives us, refreshes us. The love of Christ. So simple, and yet, as the song says, so profound. So simple, so profound. It's more than just lip service, though. He said to do the work. And that, again, is something that is characteristic as a child of God, but we're not perfect. But that's what we strive toward. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." We can call Christ Lord all day long. But it doesn't mean a thing unless we're doing what He said. "Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." It's the doing that's the proof in the pudding. When it comes to revival, when it comes to revival, now I understand this is talking more about salvation, but it's again something that characterizes the believer. By their fruit you know them. What kind of fruit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Isn't the fruit of the Spirit what all people who are born of the Spirit have? Yes. Thank God. It surely isn't of me or anybody else here. But it's absolutely... Look at Peter, for example. What was it that Peter remembered? As he had denied the Lord three times, he heard that cock crow. And he saw that the Lord looked at him. And he remembered what? The words of Jesus Christ. When he heard the word, when the word was brought to his remembrance, when he recognized the love of Christ in that look, he repented. He had a godly sorrow. He repented. And we see on the day of Pentecost that Peter rose up in the power of God. And we see the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit working. Peter had been revived. He had a longing remembrance. He had a lamenting repentance. And he had a lasting reverence. Reverence isn't just saying words. It's doing what the Master says to do. Matter of fact, it could be called blasphemy to call Him Lord and not do the things He says to do. Oh, this is difficult. The pain. You know, our nature is we want to avoid pain at all costs. But it's necessary if we're to have revival. An encouraging thing, one day we will, as Brother Sammy had read, will be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of the love of Christ. Be encouraged by that. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That He loves us with an everlasting love. So may God help us to enjoy revival as we repent, as we remember, as we reverence our God.